Christian life or Christian living. Something basic is always needed, you know. If the foundation of our Christian life is not right, good, strong, enough, whatever we raise up will not stand up, you know. So we want that our foundation, the basic Christian foundation, should be strong and good enough. Then what are the elements that we are going to see? There are so many of them that we can talk. I thought if there would have been time, we should have continued with all these topics. Basic elements of our Christian living. Number one, Christian and his faith. Number two, Christian and his fellowship. Number three, Christian and his finance. Number four, Christian and his food. Number five, Christian and his foes. And number six, Christian and his future. Very simple. You can just write the keywords: faith, fellowship, finance, food, foes, and future. If you are done writing, can you tell me, to make it complete as seven, there is one more F we can add it, and which one that could be which is missing there? And purposely, just because we are all teens here, just because we want to know these basic things, and which is the one F which is missing, which we can add otherwise? Christian and his? Okay. That's also a good topic. So I'll get the eighth one. Otherwise, Christian and his? How important it is also. Very good. Family. Christian and his family. So these are the 7-8 things that are before us. But in the classes that we have, only 3 of them, 2 today and God willing 1 tomorrow, we will be seeing only 3 of them. Number 1, Christian and his faith. Number 2, Christian and his foes. What is the meaning of foe? Enemies. Christian has enemies? Yes or no? We will know it. Then Christian and his future. I thought that which is going to happen in future is always an anticipation of all of us, you know. So these 3 classes, God willing, we will be seeing it. Today, being a class 1, shall we turn to Christian and his faith. And when you consider Christian and his faith, it's very interesting. Because faith is the foundation of Christian life. Is it correct? For without faith it is impossible to please God, says the Bible. Where? In the Bible. But where in the Bible? Who can say? For without faith it is impossible to please God, for whosoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and rewards to them who seek him. Where it is written? Right, in the Bible. But where in the Bible? You know? Write down in the side. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. For without faith, get it once again, get it straight. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Then what is that faith? What kind of faith? What is that God speaking to us? Will you please turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. And we shall read verses 5 to 10. All of you, Gospel according to Matthew chapter 8, and I read from verse 5. Please look into your Bible and notice the words there. Are you all there? Gospel of Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What a commending passage it is. So when you consider faith in the Bible, before we turn to this passage and learn the precious lessons from there, have you ever noticed? I was surprised to see that the word faith in the Bible occurs how many times and where? In the Old Testament, the word faith comes only 2 times. Which you will read in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 20 and Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Only twice in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it is found for about 245 times. The word faith. But when it is seen in that manner, we see that in Old Testament, it is a scarce thing. Not seen frequently. Just twice. But in the New Testament, it is mentioned as common every time it is being referred to. Even it is said that when Son of Man shall come upon the earth, shall he see faith? When the Son of Man was walking in this world, going amidst the people, wherever he saw faith, the blessings came there. Old Testament, New Testament, when you consider there, you know, in the Old Testament, you will always find faith is linked with those who feared the Lord or not feared the Lord. Those who had fear of God, otherwise they did not have fear of God. When it comes to New Testament, it is faith in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Why do we make that distinction is for this? Because in the Old Testament, we find God is known by the revelation of the law. But in the New Testament, we find God is known by the revelation of His love. Law and love. Why we talk about it? Because law always demanded a fear. Godly fear. The law demanded so many things from people, and always they were in awe, they were in fear, they were scared about many things. Because they knew if they don't do that, anything that goes against the law of God, there would have been serious consequences. Sometimes even death. So there was a godly fear as far as the Old Testament is concerned. But when you see in the New Testament, it is found that love demanded godly trust. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have an everlasting life. God is a loving God, and that loving God demands a godly trust from your life and my life. When we see this distinction in the Bible, you know, in spite of all that we read about Old Testament and compared with the New Testament, in spite of all that, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, you will find by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith David, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Joseph, by faith, by faith, by faith. And it is said that they all believed. And it is also said that they all died in faith. It is something very surprising, because always remember this very important aspect. The essence of sin in the life of man is the lack of trust, lack of faith in God. Did I repeat that? If you have to define sin, you may say sin is something that is displeasing God. Sin is something that is disobeying against God. Sin is something that is breaking the law of God. Sin is something that continuing to do which God does not like. All fine. But apart from all that, you know what is sin that keeps us from God? In one word, if we have to define sin, who can tell me a passage in the Bible where sin is properly defined and defined by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? Do you remember that passage? Okay, I'll give a clue to you, and some of you will be able to understand it. Simple clue. When the Lord was talking to His disciples, He said like this: when the Comforter comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict you about sin, about righteousness of God, and about the judgment of God. There are threefold work of the Holy Spirit mentioned when He comes into this world, and the Lord Jesus Christ was telling to His disciples. Then He defined it, you know, of sin means what, of judgment means what, of righteousness means what. Anybody remembers that passage? Very good. Very good. Will you please turn, as Karen has said, to John 16 and verse 8. Can somebody read it loudly at the back? John 16 and verse 8. John 16 and verse 8. Who can read? And when He is come, that is Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now what is sin? What is righteousness? What is judgment? Now look at the next verse. Verse 9. Will you continue? Verse 9.
Of sin.
Because they believed not on me. Please underline that. Sin is disbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is what? What is sin? Do you follow English? Yeah, very good. What is sin, my dear? Did you open John's Gospel, chapter 16? Can you read verse 9 for me loudly?
Of sin, because they believe not on me.
Did you get that? That is the greatest of all sin. You know what? What's your good name?
Miriam,
such a nice name. Sin is not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The essence of sin is lack of trust. That's what I want to emphasize. And that's what devil has done in the Garden of Eden. You know what did he do? To lead man and woman away from God and cause them to fall in sin, a very simple thing he has done. In the Garden of Eden, he has just put a doubt in her mind. Doubt about God, doubt about God's word, doubt about God's doing in their life. He has just asked a simple question and put a doubt. The moment doubt comes in one's life, you know, even sometimes some youngsters, they come and say, you know, uncle, I have doubt about this verse. I say, don't say that word. Stop it. There are no doubts in the Bible. As far as Bible is concerned, there are no doubts. We can only say lack of understanding. I don't follow this. I don't understand that. Doubt is a very dangerous word. You know why? Because just because he has put that doubt in her mind, doubt led her to disbelief. And disbelief led her to disobedience. And disobedience led her to denial. And denial led her to death. And death led her to departure from God. They were cast out from the Garden of Eden. Did you get that order? Doubt leads to disobedience. Disobedience leads to denial. And denial leads to death. And death leads to departure from God. The essence of sin is disbelief in God, doubting God. So we have, on the contrary, the perfect example of a perfect person, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ, who had never distrusted God. As a human, when he came into this world, as a man, when he came into this world, you read from beginning to end all his life, you will always find his faith in God, his trust in God, his belief in God, his obedience to God, his commitment to God, and all God's plan and purposes to be fulfilled in his life. There is no other example for you and me to follow and know and study in our lives than the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect person of trust in God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably it is because of that we find he is called the author and finisher of our faith. Because there was never a moment in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when he moved out of faith. So if you and I need an example about faith to understand and faith to follow, It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we consider this subject, you know, we can see this subject in a various ways. I have very little time to share with you, but whatever possible, we will be able to cover in this class. We can study this topic under five headings. You know, faith in connection with salvation. That is the basic of all. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a saving faith. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a sustaining faith. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is faith which will help us in all our Christian life and living. Let me tell you once again, for without faith it is impossible to please God. And we want to know what this faith is. Faith that saves us. First of all, faith in connection with salvation. Secondly, faith in connection with our service. Now you were listening, you know, being part of the which community? Learning community. Being part of the fellowshipping community. Being part of the celebrating community. Being part of the praying community. Being part of the loving community. You cannot be part of any of these things if you do not have faith. How faith plays a greater role in being part of all these communities that God wants us to be, which He expected in the life of people of Israel. They failed it. But then He has brought out another community in you and me by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being part of the church and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the greatest thing in this world. The whole plan and purpose of God in this particular age, this age is also known as age of grace or age of church. Thank God, if you are born again and baptized and join into the local assembly in fellowship with all these things, you are part of that. And how does that service really affects? We will see that. First of all, faith in connection with salvation. Then faith in connection with service. Thirdly, faith in connection with scriptures. Fourthly, faith in connection with storms. Troubles, difficulties, you know. What we face in our lives. How to understand that. How does faith play a role in my difficult times, my trying times. And faith also in connection with my supplications, means my prayer life. Did you get all that? Faith in connection with salvation, service, scriptures, storms, and supplications. Shall we turn to the first one? And the first one is faith in connection with salvation. And that's why we have read this passage. Which passage we have read? Which passage we have read? I wish I could call you by name. Some of you and some of your names are familiar to me. But most of you this time are new faces. So when you look down and when you look here and there, it is you I'm going to catch. You got to look at me, got to look at the slides and write down and look into your Bible. And as we talk, let's interact with one another. Be smiling, be relaxed. We are going to learn here. This is something which is meant for our good. So don't be tensed, be relaxed. Only thing, don't close your eyes. So as you see, faith, when it is mentioned in the New Testament, as we have read in the passage, it is mentioned as great faith. And who says that? Lord Jesus Christ. About whom He says that? About this centurion. That's what we read, no? Matthew's Gospel chapter 8 and verse. Verse? No. This verse we read in Matthew's 8 and I have not seen such a great faith. No, not in Israel. It should be something great, you know. It should draw our attention to. Isn't it? When the Lord commends the faith of a man, and a man who is a centurion, in other words, he was a Gentile. He didn't have access to all that the people of Israel had, you know. No law, no sacrifices, no priesthood, none of those things, none of those privileges. You and I come into that category, you know. That's why faith, whenever it is mentioned twice in the Bible as great faith, you will find it is mentioned about these two individuals. One who is a centurion, the other one is a... What is that? Canaanite woman. in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, you read about her in verse 22, but also in verse 28, the Lord said about her faith, "I have seen great faith in you." Now, when you consider these two individuals and these two occasions, something very important that we learn there, both of them are Gentiles and the Lord is commending their faith. So great faith. And because they are Gentiles and their faith is commended by the Lord Jesus Christ, we get some principles of pure faith that the Lord is looking into your life and my life. What is that faith God, the Lord is looking into our life? What kind of faith that I should have in my life? What is the type of faith God is looking? When you consider this passage, you know, whenever you see in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, it is one thing to see that we are encouraged to believe in God, trust in God, have faith in God. But in New Testament, you will always find faith is being explained by God. Explained in a way that not only just belief for the sake of belief, but a believer in Christian life in the New Testament, as far as faith in salvation is concerned, one should know what they believe and one should also know who they believe in. This is very important. So many times, you know, when you ask somebody, usually I do that, whosoever they are outside in the world, in the friends circle, you know, I ask, why do you do what do you do? Why do you do what do you do? And they have no answers, you know. They say, oh, my parents, you know, they told us to do this, that's why we are doing it. Oh, it is because our community follows that, you know, they are doing it, that's why we are doing it. So sad, you know. There was a time in my life also as youngsters. Why do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Just because all do, I do. Just because they told us to do, we do. But how many of us do because we know what we do? Because we know for whom we do. Yeah? And that is why these classes are meant for us. To make sure, to know for us, why do we do, what do we do, and whom do we believe. So when we talk about the faith which is linked with the Lord Jesus Christ, person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is always referred to in the Bible as, whosoever believeth in me. You know, why this is important for us to learn. The very purpose of John writing the gospel in chapter 20 and verse 31, he says, I have written these things to you that you might believe, and that by believing you may have eternal life. Whether you read John's gospel or you read John's epistle, you will find the purpose of writing is to believe and to have that eternal life. Is my faith really leading me to salvation? What is that faith which saves us? It is not the source, but the object. First, for example, if you see in this first place itself, when it is mentioned about the faith of this centurion as a great faith, or faith of this Canaanite woman as great faith, you will notice one important aspect of that. You know, his faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me emphasize that. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the source of faith, but it is the object of our faith. And who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we read in John 16 and verse 9, they do not believe in me of sin because they do not believe in me. Disbelief in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we talk about it? It's just because to know the emphasis that is given to us in this passage. Notice here, in verse 9, we read about this person who asked that the Lord should heal the servant in his house. And the Lord was ready to go to his house. He said, no, I am not worthy, Lord, that thou should come to my house under my roof. But speak a word only, verse 8. And my servant shall be healed. Look at verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. What really attracted the Lord Jesus Christ and what made him to say that his faith was a great faith, you know what? That word may not be found here in verse 9, but if you read Luke's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 8. Can somebody read that verse? Luke's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 8. What is that person saying there? There is one word added which I have highlighted there. Which is that word? I also am a man of authority. Also, why is he using I also? To whom is he talking to? He's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am a man of authority. I also am a man of authority. Why is he talking about also? Also, like whom? Also, like the Lord Jesus Christ. He recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. By comparing to himself, his authority was of Caesar. And he was having that authority from Caesar, and he knew the power he had. He can call a servant, he will come. He can ask one to go and he will go. He will ask one to do and he will do. He knew that he was a man of authority. He says, I also am a man of authority. Also like you, like the Lord Jesus Christ. In that sentence itself, we find his faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ has a greater power. The Lord Jesus Christ has a greater position than him. Then what he has received from Caesar, Lord Jesus Christ is greater than that. And when the Lord saw that, the faith of centurion in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why I'm talking about this is because of this. Very often, you know what kind of faith you and I have. It is always little faith here, little faith there. Dwindling faith. Doubting faith. And some of them are really, you know, they are doubt. They are in doubt. Whether they are saved or not. Some of them are really not saved, but they are still in doubt. I don't know which situation you fall into. If you are in doubt about your salvation, make sure. Maybe you are saved and you are still unsure about it. You are not sure whether you are really born again or not. Because there are some temptations, some sins, some secret things that you still do. And you know this is not supposed to be done by a child of God. But you find yourself doing those things. And you are doubting your salvation. You are questioning about it. Some of them are not saved and having doubt is one thing. Some of them are saved but still have doubt because they have no assurance of salvation. I don't know which boat you are sailing in today. If you are unsaved and not yet born again, as I said yesterday, I repeat it, make sure that this camp, as you hear the word of God and hear about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation other than him. Repent of your sins and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me my sin. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose again. And today I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord, and wash my sins. The moment you believe in your heart and confess your mouth, Jesus says, Lord, you shall be saved. Make sure you are saved. And if you are saved and still in doubt, you know what's the problem? The problem is this. You are looking too much at your faith than looking at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are just talking about your faith. You are just talking about your own life. You are just finding your life being in difficulties or sometimes in mess. Sometimes obedient, sometimes disobedient. Sometimes, you know, doing things which are supposed to be done. Sometimes not doing things which are supposed to be done. Doing things which are not supposed to be done. If that is a kind of mess and you are not sure about your salvation, accept the Lord. But if you are born again and still you are in doubt, not having assurance of salvation, maybe you are thinking more about your faith than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you, always remember this one thing. What is that? That you have exercised your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Son of God. And they that have believed him, in no wise they shall be cast away. The Lord will surely save you. The Lord has surely done that in your life. Instead of focusing on your failures and your faith, focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his completeness. And that will help you and me
to go along in our Christian life, because that faith has made us to start our Christian life with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I talk about it, you know, because we live among all unbelievers around us. Maybe you are the only believer in a place where you are studying, place where you are living, and place you are moving along with the friends. It's very difficult. They all have all actions of disbelief, talks of disbelief. But among them, when you have to believe, move as a believer, what can help you and me? Maybe this example will help you. What a Bible is something that explains and meets every needs of every areas of our life. You know what? The Lord God, when He talks about great faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, and in Him, if you have put your faith, simple faith, He will never fail you for sure. So don't focus at your life, your activities and failures, but focus upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that, uncle? Let me give you this example. What kind of faith the Lord is looking for? An active faith, not a dead faith, but a dynamic faith. What is that dynamic faith? When you turn to James, epistle of James, you have beautiful example given there. James chapter 2. You are told about two individuals. Who are those? If you read James chapter 2 and verse 21, you have the first individual mentioned as Abraham. The second example mentioned as Rahab. Abraham and Rahab. James 2 verse 25 and James 21 and James 2 verse 25. I am surprised, you know. Why is James writing about faith and writing when he is giving the example of these two individuals together? Why about these two individuals only? And why their names are mentioned together to give an example of faith? When he talks about Abraham, he says, Abraham is one who offered his son upon the altar and he exhibited his faith. But Rahab, it is said that who by faith lodged the Israelite spies, in her house. By doing these two activities, these two individuals have demonstrated their faith and their names are mentioned together. Why do I mention that? To bring out something very important before you. When these names are brought together of these two individuals, the Word of God is showing the difference through their life. What is the difference that we can learn? Look at this. First of all, we find a man like Abraham was a reputed man. Reputed person. Because in verse 21 you will read, Abraham our father. But when you read about Rahab in verse 25, Rahab the harlot. Disreputed person. Not living a good life. But a defiled life. So these two individuals are brought before us. One is a man, the other one is woman. So whosoever you are, reputed or disreputed, man or woman, whether you are Hebrew or a Gentile, that's why these two examples are brought together. Abraham, as far as he is concerned, by now when this has happened in his life, that he offered his son as a sacrifice on the altar, you know, he has lived a long life of faith. But look at the woman, Rahab. She has just begun her life, just started her life. Maybe you are a starter, or maybe you have continued your life of faith for a couple of years. Whatever it may be, faith is an essential thing as far as both these individuals are concerned. Therefore, we find when Abraham exercised his faith grew stronger because of what he has done there. But Rahab has just demonstrated her faith. Then we find that Abraham showed his love for God in obeying his word and offering his son as a sacrifice. But this lady, she has shown her love for the people of God. What I like more in this is, one has sacrificed for God, the other one has sacrificed for God's people. What I like the most is the last one. You know, one, that is Abraham, is rising above his natural feelings. It was not easy to take Isaac, his only son whom he loved. It was not easy for him. But he's in his faith, when he offered his son Isaac on the altar, was ready to offer, he has shown his faith rising above the natural feelings. But when you look at Rahab,
Her faith is rising above national feelings. Faith is something that brings this distinction before us. And this is the kind of faith the Lord God is looking in our life. This is the kind of faith that will really help us to go ahead in our Christian life. This is a kind of faith which is a differentiated faith than faith of all that are around us. And that faith will alone help us to know that whether my faith is active or inactive, dead or living, dynamic. That's why these two examples are given before us. Let me go a little ahead. Faith in connection with service. When I talk about the faith in connection with salvation, you know, time will not permit us to go ahead because this is our tea time. But at least I'll finish with this. Often we talk about Peter, you know. Peter walking on the water. And because he looked around, he started sinking. And we always, you know, mock at Peter or talk ill of Peter or say something, you know, bad about Peter. But something new that you can see in the life of Peter. If you just turn with me kindly, which is not there on the slide, to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 14. Just turn to Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14. Let me draw your attention to that kind of faith which God is looking in our life. A living faith. A dynamic faith, a true faith, a saving faith, a faith which is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and which should not be a doubting faith, but a dynamic faith. What is that faith? Look at verse 28. Are you all there? Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14, and I read verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. This was not an easy thing. What has happened there? There was a storm. And in that storm, as they were rowing, we find that they were about to face that storm and die. But in that situation, the Lord came there. And what did He say in verse 27? The Lord said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. The Lord in their storm came unto them, and the Lord in their storm called upon them. But when they saw him, they did not understand. They thought it's a spirit and they were scared. But at that time, we find the Lord said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's a beautiful word. And after hearing that word, here is a man, Peter. And what is his reply? He says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I like that sentence very much, you know. Because I find few characteristics of a living faith in Peter. What are those characteristics? Just let me tell you five things. First of all, when he heard the voice of the Lord, it is I, be not afraid. You know what did he say? He said like this, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Living faith desires to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Living faith desires to be like the Lord. Lord, if it be thou. It was not doubting. He was saying, Lord, if it is really you, you know, what a nice thing it is. Living faith desires to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, in that same verse, bid me come unto thee. Living faith desires to draw near to God, near to the Lord. If it is you, desires to be like Him. If it is you, then help me, call me, let me come unto you. Desires to draw near to God. Thirdly, in that same verse, living faith desires to walk. He said, bid me come unto thee on the water. You are walking on the water, let me come on the water. That means what? Living faith desires to walk on the victory ground. Victory ground. The Lord was victorious over water. What do you mean by victorious over water? I always like that sentence and I usually say it like this. You know what? The waves that were over their head to drown them, to defeat them. And probably they would have been dead because of those waves. The waves that were over their head were the same waves under His feet. Isn't it beautiful? There is nothing that can go over your head and my head. But when those waves were rising and the Lord said, "It is I," Peter says, "If it be thou, I would like to be like you." Secondly, "If it is you, then let me come unto you," drawing closer to the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, "If it is you walking on the water, then let me walk on the water." Living faith desires to be like the Lord, to draw near to the Lord, and to walk on the victory ground. Look at the next verse. What do you find there? "And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Beloved, it is not easy just to speak. You know, to say like this, it's very simple. But imagine that sea, imagine that raging sea, imagine that storm, imagine that situation, and all other disciples were sitting inside the ship, but there is one who stepped out of the ship. You should commend him. "If it is you, let me come to you on the water." And he stepped out of water when the Lord said, "Come." Living faith desires to obey the Lord. Fourthly, living faith desires to obey the Lord. He stepped out and walked on the water. As he walked, because of the sound that was around, he looked here and looked there, and he started sinking. He started sinking. He started sinking. But the moment he was going down and down in the water, you know, he knew now it is finished, it is over. He did one thing, a small little prayer. At that last moment, he said, "Lord, save me." The smallest prayer in the Bible. "Lord, save me." The moment the Lord reached out and saved him out of the water and said a word there to him. Living faith desires to pray unto the Lord, even in trying situation. Five things I said. Living faith desires to be like the Lord. Living faith desires to draw near to the Lord. Living faith desires, which is the third one, to walk on the victory ground. Living faith desires to obey the Lord. And living faith desires to pray to the Lord in spite of trying situations. And I tell you, as the Lord did bring him out of it, and what did the Lord say? Look at that faith. I like that word. You see, and immediately, verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" See, in spite of that doubt in his mind, in spite of that little faith in him, we find he is demonstrating, while all others are sitting inside the boat comfortably, Peter is one who is demonstrating his faith. You know why I'm talking about all this? Is when you say you are born again child of God, some of such situations will come in your life and my life. And that's why in all endeavors of our life, Christian life, faith is an essential thing. First, with our salvation. Second, with anything that we do in our service to the Lord. You know, as I said earlier, and as our dear brother was talking to you about the different community and the different activities in the community that you and I are in. Imagine the Lord's Supper. Remembering community, we were saying. Celebrating community. Can you do that with a person whom you have never seen? You do it by faith. You talk about gospel meeting. We preach the gospel in order that somebody will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will save somebody. By faith we preach. By faith we practice. By faith we continue to study the word of God. And by faith we have prayer meetings in anticipation that God will answer our prayer. See, by faith we are doing all this. By faith, saved. By faith, our service to the Lord. By faith, we pass through. I will have to just go through these slides. Maybe you will take time and find out. Maybe I can pass on this handout to you and you can study the rest of the aspects of our Christian life. Because each of these individuals, when they exercise their faith, we have seen whatever they have heard from the Lord, they have believed. Whether it is Noah, whether it is Moses, whether it is Abraham, because what they heard from God, his voice or vision or whatever was given to them in those days, they believed, they took God at his word. And that's why the next one comes, faith in connection with our scriptures which are given to us. When it is God's word in your hand, no compromise. No compromise with the word of God. Why the word is given? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. If you simply put your trust in what God has said. Lord, you said this, I accept it. No doubt about it. No compromise about it. No third thought about anybody saying anything against God's word. Take God at His word. And let me tell you, His word will never fail you. Faith in the precious word of God. When I say God's word, you know, may I say one thing and then go ahead? Bible is one thing that anybody can go and buy from a Bible society. Do you have all Bible? Do you all have a Bible? Hello? Do you all have a Bible? Yeah. Some of you may have 2, 3, 4 Bibles. Yeah. Good. Different versions of Bible. Maybe electronic Bible. Some of you may have Bible on your mobiles. Yeah. All those sorts of Bibles are available. You know, free resources are available. You can buy a Bible for 40 rupees, 60 rupees, 80 rupees, free download or whatever it is. May I tell you, only if you read the Bible and obey the Bible and keep the Bible, then comes from the Bible, the promises of Bible, promises of God to you. It is only to them, not those who can go to Bible society and buy a Bible and keep along with them, but those who read it, those who meditate it. God gives promises from the Bible, and it is those promises which will help you and me to go ahead in our Christian life. Well, we talk about all this little later maybe. In spite of all difficulties coming into our life, I just want to say one thing here. I don't know which situations you are passing through today. Maybe some fear and maybe some doubts, maybe some emotions. When I say fear, doubts and emotions, it could be some of you facing some such situations in your own personal life, in your family life. Maybe there would have been some disaster. Maybe there would have been some death. Maybe there would have been some problem, some difficulties. I don't know what it is. When I say that, whatever may be the situation at your home, there is God with whom you can ask any of your supplication by faith in Him. And He is able to save us from that sorrow, from that sickness, and from anything that has happened in our Christian life as we live along. Maybe a death and departure of our dear person, our dear ones, our dear family members. Situations are very trying, you know. But there is God who can answer all our prayers. When I say all this, it is only faith that can help you and me to overcome. It is only faith that can help you and me to live our Christian life for the glory of God. It is faith that is seen in the Bible. In a various ways, the Lord was building that kind of faith in the lives of the people, and seeing that may be true with us when we continue our Christian life. Faith in connection with salvation. Faith in connection with service. Faith in connection with scriptures. And faith in connection with storms, our difficulties in our life. Faith in connection with our supplications. What may be the situation? It's my humble prayer to the Lord that you and I may have that faith which saves us, and that faith alone can sustain us. Shall we bow our head? Gracious God and our Father, we thank you because there is no God like you. And they that come to you by simple faith, in no wise you will cast them away. Here we are, Lord, with all our fears, with all our doubts, with all our anxieties. Oh, we can be called men of little faith. But we thank you. They that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His person, He shall save them. May each one of these children who are sitting in this class, oh Lord, have that faith, saving faith, that each one of them may have assurance of their salvation. Not doubting, not fearing, not anxious about those things. But as they continue in their Christian life, may it be like faith of Peter that we talked about. A living faith. Faith like Abraham. A dynamic faith. Faith like Rahab. A simple and committed faith. What a faith it is, dear Lord. We only pray that all that we talk about in our Christian life may be true in our practice, dear Lord. Help each one of these children. I do not know what situation they are passing through, but the Lord knoweth it. And it's only our humble prayer that you might strengthen them in their faith in you, faith in your word, faith in all situations of life, faith in seeing that God will bring to pass all that He has planned for our life. May Thou encourage each one of us, guide us and lead us. We thank You for hearing us in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.